Jack Fitzpatrick is incredibly smart. What he does is when he travels with the president, he tries to find a quiet, cozy place with a ambiance like Orem Moore in Nantucket, where he's going to be like Thanksgiving. Okay, maybe I'll have turkey, but I probably want the bison au poivre at Orem Moore in Nantucket. I mean, does the whole Jack Fitzpatrick, does the press corps go with the president when he goes off to Nantucket with Dr. Biden and the family?
You know, for one reason or another, I am not invited to Nantucket, and I
Cirilli would have gone.
A whole list of Nantucket. Yeah, I believe that that Kevin probably would have gone. I didn't bring my list of Nantucket reservations with me for this one. Really, a lot of the time when the president has, including now when the president goes to Nantucket, there's basically nothing on his schedule. I believe there's a travel pool, but we don't get a lot of updates, and we just kind of skip out on the news.
He's going to relax. They're going to show him relaxing. I remember the Obamas were under so much stress. They're up in Maine somewhere, and they put the two young daughters out waving at the ocean or something to prove they were relaxing. Baloney, Jack. They're not relaxing. What's his biggest headache this Thanksgiving holiday?
All the talk about high prices, inflation in general. Obviously, you've heard the president talk about gas prices. His speech yesterday was a pretty clear reflection of how seriously he's taking that and probably how nervous Democrats are about gas prices. You know, there's only so much they can do, including with the petroleum reserve release. You heard the president talk about potential investigations if there is illegal activity. I don't know if that's necessarily a sign of desperation, but the president clearly has a lot of concerns about gas prices and more broadly about inflation and high prices heading into the holidays and heading toward the 2022 midterm.
Jack, next Friday, the government has a funding deadline. How do we think about that? When I have a funding deadline, I take that seriously. Does the government as well?
Nobody I have talked to expects a shutdown, but this looks like there's going to be some very last-minute work. The deadline is 11:59 p.m. Friday next week. I have been trying to get answers as to how long the next stopgap will be, because they're at a point where there's clearly not going to be a real government funding deal. It does not appear that there is a decision on when the next deadline will be. There's talk about another December deadline. We may have a bunch of deadlines before there's a real deal, and they keep using stopgaps. But I would expect them to try to take care of that the last week, and it may be a bit of a last minute procedure to avoid a shutdown.
Jack, it's off our mandate here on economics, finance, investment, but I was really taken by Bret Stephens' essay in the New York Times this morning on crime across this America of many different shapes and forms, and what Mr. Biden and his party will do with that, how they will address the age-old debate on crime. That's got to be near top of pile in Washington. How does a president address this issue in December?
It's an issue that cuts a lot of different ways, and it's difficult for Democrats. I think the primary reason it's particularly difficult for Democrats is enough people leaned into the defund the police slogan, even when a number of, the president himself didn't repeat that. Many congressional Democrats didn't believe in that. But it became associated with the Democratic mainstream to the extent that they seem to be taking a significant amount of blame for what might be more related to the pandemic. It's hard to pin down exactly what has caused the strange stories on large-scale theft from stores. There's all sorts of issues. Pedestrian deaths are significantly up. But the slogan of defund the police has kind of tied them closely to it and made it really difficult for Democrats heading into the midterms.
Jack, thank you so much. Jack Fitzpatrick, just with phenomenal coverage through the year and, you know, coming up, the whole redistricting and gerrymandering debate is all that as we go into the political season of 2022. Paul, I got to go back to this equity market. I looked the other day and I've been watching this as the NASDAQ 100 creeps up on the Standard & Poor's 500. It's the great missed call of 2021.
Yeah.
NASDAQ 100's done great.
It's done great. I mean, we've seen 20% plus moves in these equity indexes throughout the year. And again, You had the Fed. It continues to be generally very accommodating. Yes, we're talking about tapering, and we are tapering, and we're talking about rate increases perhaps as early as next year. But that's been, I think, discounted by this market amazingly well, surprisingly well, I would say. And then we had earnings. I mean, we've had very strong earnings, as Gina Martin Adams was just talking to us about earlier. Corporate America's come through with some solid numbers. Earnings expected to be strong into next year. Yes, there'll be a slower growth rate, just given the math, but still pretty strong earnings coming out. So a lot of the building blocks for this equity market,
and
you know, I guess you could have seen it, but there's that wall of worry out there, but this market has climbed that wall of worry.
And it's not so much the building blocks, but this thread of the last 3 weeks out of nowhere, General Electric, Johnson & Johnson, Toshiba in Japan, which has been underreported in America. I mean, I wonder where the whole I can't get the word out. I need an eggnog. Deconglomeratization. Got it.
Bam. You know, again, the GE news to me was just really seminal. I mean, you talk about when an iconic American corporation breaking itself into three separate pieces.
I haven't come to grips with it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know.
We're going to try to come to grips with getting a market open here on a Wednesday. Futures at -22. Please stay with us. Please drive careful. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.